Let's make a start. Obviously, we've been looking about God's glory flowing out from the inside of us, which is great. That's what it should look like, okay? The glory of God just flowing out of our lives and our whole lives transfigured. Because transfiguration is the glory of God manifested as light around us. Jesus was transfigured. He was transfigured as a demonstration of what we can be like. It was what Adam was like. Adam was operating as a man of light before he sinned. God wants us to be operating in that way. Now, every one of us has a destiny. That destiny is in time and eternity. It started in eternity, it operates in time, and it will go back to eternity, and it won't stop. You know, it flows on, but what we do here in time affects what will go on in eternity. So it's really important that we start getting hold of our destiny here. And so if we're going to have heavenly encounters, we need to be prepared. So these next two sessions, I'm not going to do two sessions now, but one session now and one tomorrow, about preparing. And Jeremiah 1 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. That was Jeremiah. You could put your name in there, and whatever your call is, God knew it before the foundation of the world. And he has consecrated you, set you apart for that purpose. But you have to find out what it is. And you need that revelation. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book or scroll were all written the days that were ordained for me. So there is a scroll, a book, written with everything that God has ordained for your life. And you can see it. You can't see it all at one go, because it would blow your mind. You can see it bit by bit. When I first saw that scroll, I saw it as a movie. That's what it looked like. It was a movie of stuff. And I didn't tell anyone about it. And subsequently, people have prophesied that movie over me and had dreams about it for me when I didn't tell anybody. Because once you start to see it, it starts to come into being. God starts to bring it out. It says, yeah, let me read that. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast the sum of them. God's thoughts about your life in time and eternity are beyond counting. Because eternity is a long time. And that is an oxymoron, I think. Literally, you will have on to work out the thoughts of God for your life. But actually, you can miss it if you don't order and prepare your life now. Because Jesus said there are rewards for serving and being well done, a good and faithful servant. You will have 10 cities and this. That's just illustration of, it could be planets, it could be galaxies. You know, it's like, you need to think outside of the box when it comes to eternity. Jesus made galaxies, and we're supposed to do greater works than he did. So what are we going to do? You know, I've seen galaxies being birthed, and it's an awesome thing. It's like, I love looking at pictures that come from the Hubble telescope. It's like, because I've seen those things in the realm of the spirit. And if you want to see some of the spirit, like nebulas and things like that, they represent what goes on in the realm of the spirit. It's great stuff. We need to see that book or that scroll. It comes out of eternity. It was agreed with your spirit and God before the creation of the world in eternity. Because your spirit is eternal. It comes from eternity. It's a letter or decree or a commission. That's what that scroll is. It's a commission for your life. It contains purpose and provision for destiny. When you see what God has called you to do and you submit to it, God provides. If you're doing stuff in your own strength, you get stuff in your own strength. God provides for that destiny. That's why it's really important to be in the flow of it. We can access it in our own hearts. And you can access it in the heavens. I've seen it in both places. To start with, I didn't know it was in my own heart. It's like I just didn't know where I was when the heavenly encounters. It was everywhere. Subsequently, God has shown me where I was and what I was doing to give me understanding to be able to teach other people. But initially, I just had loads of encounters. But I saw that scroll at the Tree of Life. And it got revealed to me, a bit of it, because it just sort of opens up. Now, it's always about bringing earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's about. And when we get a new heaven, new earth, it will still be about that. Just it will be way, way expanded. This will just be a base, as Justin was talking about this morning, of seeing the universe back into order. And there are other dimensions beyond this dimension, which I'm definitely not going down that rabbit trail now. Now, there is a picture of an egg and a whole load of sperm. Okay? You might think, well, that's a strange picture to show. You are an overcomer because you are one in 3 million. You defeated 3 million other sperms to live. Think of it. You started off being one in 3 million and you overcame all the obstacles that all the others failed at. You succeeded. That's what it's like. You are special. You are special because you are that one unique person like nobody else. And literally, what happened when you formed, that is a fertilized egg. It's great what you can see with an electron microscope. What happened when that egg was fertilized was 23 chromosomes from your parents joined to form the DNA of the record of your parents' history. So their parents and your parents, they go back. So that is contained within that egg, within your DNA. But what happens, and this actually literally happens, scientists have captured this, a bright light comes at the point of conception. And that is your spirit entering your body, and it contains with it the scroll of destiny. Literally, it's in the first replicated DNA, right in the center of it. Okay? Now, it carries that record of that destiny, and literally then, those cells start to multiply. And after it reaches about 10 to 12 cells, that first cell implodes into the middle and becomes your heart. Literally, it forms the heart. Because the heart carries the record of your DNA, and the record of your eternal DNA, and what you come into agreement and alignment with is really, really important. Because you have to come into alignment with your eternal destiny, not just what you've received from your record of your DNA. But your DNA literally needs to be transformed. That's what breaking bread does. Not going down that one now. But actually Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Our heart is a thinking organ. There's some great websites out that have done research into it. You'd think your brain is the most thinking organ. It isn't. They can only get signals 10 inches from your brain, 6 feet from your heart. Because your heart carries all the records of the thoughts and memories. And that's what does all the thinking. Now, that scroll, you do need to get hold of and see. And God reveals it as you pursue it. You know, I've not seen loads of it, but I've seen very significant things, and God has shown me things which were really, really key things for my life. And I've seen coming here on that scroll. And I was wondering whether to come here and do this, and I saw something on the scroll which, it was a helicopter, actually, going off from a ship, going off and landing somewhere else, and I saw that on the scroll. And when I was considering, well, should I go up to Guildford? You know, it's a long way away from Devon, you know, all that sort of stuff. Because I don't do an awful lot of travelling around. But I asked God to show me, and someone had a dream. One of our prophetic team said, "I had a really weird dream." So I said, "Well, I interpret dreams for people quite often." And so I said, "Well, write it down. Let me see." And everything on that dream was actually confirming, he prophesied in this dream exactly what thing, and he actually saw a boat carried by a helicopter and dropped on the tributary of the Thames. So I did some research and found that Guildford is actually on a tributary of the Thames. And so there was a confirmation that he knew nothing about, and yet he didn't even understand the dream. But everything in the dream was just a confirmation that I should come here, because God revealed it to me, but I didn't know the details, and then they came in the dream. So God will show you your destiny once you pursue it. And the more and more you see, the more and more you become responsible to fulfill. Now one day, just like I shared last night, you will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You can do it now, or you can wait, but your scroll of destiny will be compared to the scroll of your life. And whether how much of it compares and are the same will determine whether you're going to get a well done, good and faithful servant. You know, now I'm totally with Justin. I don't want to die. You know, I'd very much like to take on the DNA of God, see my life transformed and get younger rather than older. You know, why not? You know, the Word of God says it, therefore I can claim that promise and apply it to my life. You know, Psalm 47 says, "Behold, I've come, in the scroll of the book it's written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart." See, God writes things on our heart. And we need, that's why it's so important that we engage with our heart, that we purify our heart, that we see our heart transformed, because we can engage in the garden of our heart. Hopefully I'll be able to do the session which talks about how to cultivate the garden of our heart. That scroll contains a frequency. Our whole life vibrates, and everyone has got a unique frequency. It was given God, because it's the voice of God vibrating in your scroll, which gives you the frequency in your life. Literally, your DNA carries a song. And you can send a copy of your DNA off to somewhere in America, in a university, and it will produce a song. Literally. Now that song was formed in chaos, because it comes from the DNA record. If you're not born again, that will carry the record of your parents and your life. If you're born again, you get an extra strand of DNA, and the song reflects your destiny. So there are different songs. If you take one before you're born again and one afterwards, it's different. Now I can't prove that totally, but I know someone who can, but they're not allowed to say, unfortunately. Now it also contains colour and fragrance and a formula. Everything God does... shall I get on this? Yeah. Ring? Yeah. Everything that God has created carries a formula. It's called the golden constant. And it's signified by the letter phi, and it's 1.6 something like that. And literally every single thing that's created is created so that nature shows the handiwork of God. It's created according to that golden formula. Everything is created with it. All quantum science is created with it, everything. And there's this Egyptian who discovered this recently, and he's totally transformed the whole thinking of the scientific community, because they've realized that there is a designer. You know? Some of them do not like to hear that fact. There is intelligent design behind the whole of creation. Hence everything, in the smallest quantum particle up to the largest thing in the universe, all operates according to this mathematical constant, which is awesome. And we have it in our lives, and we're created according to it. Literally our DNA vibrates. Now, we've got to choose what we resonate with. Resonance is a really important principle in the kingdom. When God speaks, we have to vibrate with his voice. Now, literally, our whole body is connected to our ear. The ear is the first organ after the heart to form. And it starts to vibrate and continues even slightly after death. It still vibrates. It's connected to every other organ other than the spleen, because the spleen is in the production of blood. I'm not going to go into that now. But literally, in all that stuff, our whole body is a thing to capture, to amplify vibration of the voice of God. So that when a larger amplified frequency comes next to a lower one, the lower one conforms. And literally, you can do it with a guitar. If you play a guitar and put a guitar next to it and play a string, the other string will vibrate without being touched. When we get close enough to God and our destiny, we start to vibrate at that frequency and change. because frequencies change DNA and transform it. Okay, so when you speak healing, literally you're speaking a frequency of vibration, and literally sometimes you lay hands on people and your hand vibrates, that vibration changes the DNA to bring healing. You're operating at that sort of level. You might not know that's what you're doing. When you do know, you can do it more effectively because you can speak to the DNA and command it to come back into alignment. Because every cell carries a record in the DNA and it can come back into alignment. So at conception, we carry that record of that destiny, and our soul and body then grows up around it because we're born separated from God. And therefore our destiny basically goes, it's not completely unconnected to, because some of us got that thing in us, we just know there's something. You just know there's something you're called to. It's like we all know there's a God-shaped hole. There's something missing until the Spirit of God comes into us. You know, some people are able to sort of connect to their destiny and will fulfill it, even if they're not born again. There's things that come out that almost shape their life. But we need to get fully programmed by it so that our whole body, our whole life gets programmed by that destiny. I've sort of shared some of this. You know, when we're born again spiritually, the flesh and the spirit wrestle for control. Who is going to be the strongest vibrating force in our life? Who's going to have the greatest frequency? Those testimonies of the record of our DNA of our parents and the record of the DNA of the scroll of God start to compete for the testimony of our future, effectively. This is where we need to start to surrender to the will of God for our lives, and then we start to outwork the spirit, not the flesh. Now, Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Service and worship are the same Greek word. It's the same thing. Worship is serving God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now that word means metamorphosed. Change from one being to another. It's like we start out a caterpillar crawling on the ground eating leaves, and we actually, when we go into a cocoon and are transformed, which is the process I'm talking about, is transformation, we end up a butterfly that lives on nectar and can fly. Do you want to fly?
Yes.
It's like, I've actually flown in the spirit. It's great fun. It's like, there will be people who can fly. If you've seen science fiction programs like Heroes, some of the abilities and things, that is only getting a glimpse of what's coming to God's people.
Yeah.
Authorities and power and abilities which will be restored once our DNA is brought back into the purposes of God. You know, there's awesome things that we will be able to do, even greater than Jesus did. And one of them will be flying, because Jesus actually levitated into the air when he went back into heaven. When you start talking about levitation, you can't talk about that. Actually, Jesus did it, so of course I can talk about it. We can talk about anything that Jesus did. And he did lots of good stuff. But we need to have our mind renewed. So our heart needs to be renewed. Renewing it comes back to our eternal destiny rather than our parents' destiny for us. So we can prove what God's will is for our life. Literally our destiny. This is what this scripture is all about. So we need to be renewed every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is a day by day process of becoming more like Jesus, one degree of glory to another. So today I display this amount of glory, tomorrow I want to display more glory, and the next day more glory. Now it might be imperceptible to people around us, but actually eventually people start to see that we are different. You know, and when we start to actually display light, they'll really see that we're different. And when we start to do the miracles and the things that Jesus did, they will know that we're a people who have the answers and the authority to deal with all the things in the world. And that's what God is bringing us around. You know, Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. See, the true knowledge is our eternal destiny. It's already written and agreed, we just have to come into agreement with it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23. Now the heart is a physical organ, okay? But also the heart is used to express our emotions. The heart can also be used as the soul, our inner life, our personality, the record of our DNA, our subconscious mind. Literally, the heart is the record of everything. All our memories are stored there. So when we meditate on the word, and we picture it, or we speak it, or we confess it, and it stores in our heart, not in our brain. The brain only forms neural pathways and networks to connect to the memories that are stored in our heart. That's how we get at them. So we have the Spirit, in our spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in us. So God's kingdom, His rule, His reign, is in us. In the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That is the seat of rest, or the seat of government. And we need to surrender that seat of rest and government to Jesus. Now, when we surrender it to Him, He trains us so that we will sit on that seat of rest and government ourselves. That's His desire. He only can't trust us to do it when we're immature and children. When we mature and practice, our senses getting trained, we are able to start to rule and bring the kingdom of God through our lives. Our heart, which is our subconscious mind, is where that process takes place. There's a garden in our hearts, which is a really great place. You know, as I said the other night, mine was a little patch like that, and now it has mountain ranges in it. Because I've cultivated and developed it over a short period of time. You know, only about this 12 months ago. And it's like I've grown my heart, and there's wonderful things in there. And God wants this for all of us. Rivers, you know, the rivers of God flows from heaven to our spirit, to our garden heart, and out to the world. You know, just like it did in Eden, it went out to the world, it's supposed to do it through us. Now, I want to try and just picture how this all works, okay? Because I'm talking about the spirit, I'm talking about the heart, I'm talking about the mind. How does it all work? Well, it's a nice little picture of a person, and in it, there's our heart. And in our heart is our scroll of destiny. Now, then there's the seat of government, or the seat of rest, within us. It's not in our heart, it's in our innermost being. It's not in our spirit either. Okay? But then, it's our conscious mind. Now, these all start to work together. Now, our spirit, literally, is in the membrane that goes over our skull and down our backbone. Because that has got no blood in it. There's no connection to blood, because blood carries the record of our past. You know, so our spirit is separated from our blood, and literally that's where it is. That's where our spirit man is. That spirit man has a door in it to let God in, because God is in our spirit. So when we open the door, He comes into our spirit. We then try to invite Him from that place. Obviously, that gives us access to the heavenlies as well. Because in Revelation 3:20, when it says, I knock on the door, and He comes in, the next verse says, there is a door open in heaven, come up here. So as soon as we open the door of our heart to let God into our spirit, He opens the door into heaven that we can access it. So, our spirit, when we open the door, we invite Jesus to be Lord of our life, to sit on that throne. Then we invite Him into our heart. And in our heart, He engages with our destiny, which is in our heart, to our conscious mind, and back to our heart. And if you think what the heart literally does, it takes air from the lungs into the heart, pumps it round the body, brings it back to the heart and back to the lungs. It's like an eternal thing. There's a thing that goes around and around and around. That's what our spirit needs to do. We take life from the spirit into our heart. It goes and programs our blood to transform our mind. So our heart transforms our brain. Because the heart is what triggers the conscious things in our brain. You know, the brain does not act independently of the things that are stored in the heart. So that's really how it starts to work. Then, it's just a continual process. Every day, I open the door, Jesus comes onto the throne of my life, I invite Him into my heart, He comes to my heart and programs my life. And it just flows. And literally, then the power and the rivers of life can flow from me. So they flow out through my life, because I'm in tune with the flow of the life of God. Now, this only works if you do it. It's not automatic. Our heart pumps automatically. We haven't got much choice about it. This works because you choose to surrender your life to God. It chooses because you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life today. So hopefully that sort of just puts it a little bit in picture of how it all works. There's another picture there. And it's like that. God showed me that this is like that infinity symbol is a symbol of eternity. And it's like our destiny is connected to eternity and will go back to eternity one way or another. So it is the center of all human life, and I flip through that stuff. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I can know it, and you can know it through the revelation of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit rules, the heart isn't deceitfully wicked. It's flowing in life. When the heart rules, it can deceive us. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that is why we need the programming of the Spirit of God to program how we think, to renew our mind, to renew our heart and transform us. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Matthew 12:34. Our words which come out of our heart are extremely powerful and extremely important, that they only line up with our destiny and not with our DNA record. Because if we continue to do the same things we've always done, we'll always get the same things we always got. So we have to change things. We have to break in onto that cycle and bring the truth. Because when we start speaking according to the truth that's in our heart, we will call things into being and change things, and you will be able to speak creatively. Because you have the power and authority. When your voice it reflects and echoes the voice of God, you have authority in your voice. There's a whole different teaching on that, which I haven't got time to do now. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence. In other words, it is really important that you guard your heart. For from it flows the springs of life. Life will spring from your heart when it's filled with your Spirit. Just a picture of the different parts of the soul. The ears of the heart, our conscience, the voice of the heart, which is reason, the eyes of the heart, our imagination, and our mind, which is our conscious decision. And all those things go together for one thing, choice. Will I consciously decide every day to do what Jesus would do? Because if I do, I'm going to fulfill my destiny in God. If I don't, I'm actually fulfilling my past. I want to fulfill my eternal past, not my practical past. Now, obviously I talked to this earlier about the Word of God is sown into our hearts, and so the soil of our hearts is really important. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So many Christians are disappointed because they were sold an illusion about what the Christian life was like. And therefore, they were made promises which haven't been fulfilled, and our hearts end up damaged and sick. And when they're fulfilled, what does it say? Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, the tree of life, you can have access to. It has healing for the nations. It has fruit which produces every season. You don't have one season of fruit from the tree of life. It produces 12 sorts of fruit, one for each month. Hebrews 4:12, talking about the heart. The word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we need to know what is motivating our heart. What is the motives of our thoughts and our intentions? It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the Spirit of God, that judges and shows us where our hearts are coming from. And when we're open to that, God will show us that motive came out of the flesh. That motive came from your unmet need. That motive came from your unhealed hurt. God will start to reveal what's truly going on in our heart once we invite Him in there. Because, you know, it's great to have a little patch in your heart that you can have a secret place with God in. But you've got to get rid of all the hardness and all the stony areas and everything else and have the river of life flowing in there. You know, I've been to Egypt a few times to see the pyramids, and God actually took me on the timeline and showed me the building of the pyramids, which was really interesting. Anyone want to ask me about that, I might talk to you about it sometime. But in Egypt, the Nile has green all around it. The rest of Egypt is a barren desert. And I've driven up through it. It is the most terrible place. The only place where there's green is where the river flows. In our heart, the only place we're going to produce life is what we sow and water from the river of life in our heart. And it's really great teaching on that, which I'll definitely try and do. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. God writes, in other words, rewrites what's on our heart. If we allow him to, if we invite him in, and we will be the people of God. You know, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Now, your desires and secret petitions need to line up with your destiny. Your heart with God's heart. And then his desires will be given to you. And if we just desire things for selfishness, sometimes God allows us to have the desires of our heart even when it's not his will. You know, because it's our heart. And if we have desires, he will give them to us. So we need to really make sure that the desires that we do have line up with God's will for our life. Psalm 23 is a great psalm, and I meditate on Psalm 23, and I use Psalm 23 in the garden of my heart to go and lie down in green pastures with the shepherd talking to me. There's a big tablecloth there where I go and feed. There's a river there flowing. It's like I meditate all the time in that place. And God restores my soul. He restores my heart when I'm sat in that place of rest. Because literally, what does it say? He makes me lie down. It's like he wants us to stop and rest in his presence so he can transform us. It's a great place. Intimacy. We need to engage and experience the manifest presence of God in our heart. I talked about the four chambers of the heart last night. I'd encourage you to pursue meeting God in those places. I'm sure it will be much different from you than it was for me. I trust it will, because I wouldn't want anyone to go through what I went through in this place. But there's a place where God wants to engage with us in intimacy. Deeper levels of intimacy. The garden is just the first place of intimacy. There's the dance floor where our DNA and God's DNA start to get mixed. The soaking room, like Esther was prepared by the seven spirits of God. We go into the soaking room and we get prepared with fragrances and oils, which prepares our life. And the bridal chamber, a place of consummation of marriage contract. If you haven't done a marriage contract, I encourage you to do one. Because God's promises to you are in his word. You need to write down the promises of God to you and hold him to it. The things that he's said to you, the prophetic words over your life, the things you've seen yourself doing. Now, I had a whole list of them. Now, I had 20 dreams and visions of things that I saw myself doing, and then I had 40 things on my marriage contract, so 60 things altogether. When I went through this period of intimacy with God, every one of them died. I had to give up every one of them, and they died, and I grieved over every one. It was the hardest thing I ever went through in my life. I grieved over, because there had to be about God and not me. All those dreams about me doing things and what God showed me I would do, it couldn't be about me. It has to be about God and glory to God, not ourselves. Because what God is going to want us to do and call us to do in authority and power in the church and in the world, he cannot afford to have people who are going to rob him of glory. That's why he's transforming our hearts now. Before he's releasing the greater power and the greater authority, he's transforming us. So that he can trust us with that. So he can raise us up to be sat on thrones of authority and power and to exercise that authority. How much do you desire intimacy? Well, someone once said to me, pursuit is the evidence of desire. If you're not pursuing it, you don't desire it. And what are you doing to pursue God? What are you doing to chase after His presence? And I'm talking about in your own personal time with Him. Yes, you can go to meetings and it's great to go to conferences. Great. But actually in your time with God, how are you pursuing intimacy? You have to set your heart towards it. Set your affections on it. So that's what I want more than anything else in my life, is intimacy with God. Set your desire upon it, because God gives you the desires of your heart. If your desire is for intimacy, He will give you intimacy. Pursue it. Intimacy is more than just it's or everything. Hearing, seeing, it's an experience. It's not theoretical. You can't have theoretical intimacy. It's got to be real. And in that place of intimacy, you start to hear the song of heaven. It's like I've heard the song of heaven, and it calls me into harmony with it. It's like the symphony of heaven. You've got a part to play. You are an instrument. You are a sound that fulfills God's eternal purpose. And God is calling us back to it. So we can resonate and harmonize with what God has called us to do in our lives. We have to prepare our hearts for transformation. We have to build our spirit. Now, you don't build your spirit without exercise. You know, it's like when I was a kid, I saw the adverts for things called bull workers. And it's like they offered you a quick fix for massive muscles. Now, the guys who pushed these things were bodybuilders. They didn't build their muscles using a bull worker. They used a lot of weight in a gym. And, you know, I bought into this thing and I used to push this thing and pull it. And it's like, and yeah, I got a little bit stronger doing it. I didn't get any muscles at all, really. Because I was looking for a cheap fix, something easy to give me muscles. It doesn't work. A friend of mine bought one of these things that you put on your stomach, 6 little electrodes that fire a little electrode to stimulate electrically your muscles while you watch TV. Because he wanted a 6-pack. Suffice it to say, it's in the cupboard with all the rest of the junk that he bought, which were quick fixes. You don't grow and develop physical muscles unless you put in the effort. You don't grow spiritual muscles unless you put in the effort. There aren't any quick fixes. Yeah, I can lay hands on you, and I love laying hands on people and praying for them and encouraging people, but you cannot have a heavenly encounter by my laying hands on you. You've got to develop your own relationship with God. You know, I can give you a stimulus at times, and sometimes we go to a conference and we get blasted, but what do we do with it? Does it really change and transform our life? So we go back and change how we live, or do we look for the next conference when someone else can lay hands on us? Because those people who lay hands on us have paid the cost for the anointing that they carry. And do we want it cheap and easy? Give me your anointing. Or are we willing to develop our own anointing in our own relationship with God, where God flows through us? Because anything that anyone is doing in signs and wonders and miracles is available for all of us. They're the work, they're the basic stuff that Jesus did. And we should all be doing that stuff. But God wants to trust us. So we need to train, work out and practice desire, discipline, delight. You know, I love the delight of the presence of God. But it's cost me. It's cost me getting up early every day. It's cost me spending time. You know, and actually God is calling me to even greater cost. You know, when I go back from this place, I have to rearrange some of the rest of my life to give more time to God. Because God's saying, it isn't enough. I want more of you. You know, I think, well, surely you've got enough. And it's like, God wants me all day, every day, 24 hours, waking, sleeping. You know, I'm trying to develop this thing of the night watch and meeting God, and while my body's asleep, my spirit engaging God. And I've only done it a few times and I'm frustrated with it because I can't quite break through to it. But I know God wants to meet with me all day, all the time, sleep and awake. Because He wants intimacy and He wants my life flowing with His. So I'd encourage you, get that desire and then don't stop. Discipline yourself and your flesh so that you can delight in the presence of God. And God will flow through you and His glory will manifest through you. You will start producing this kingdom, authority, heaven on earth through your life. And you will become a gateway of God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Thanks again.